Hello, welcome to Studio One. If you like what you see, like and subscribe and comment. Hey everyone, my name is Jabril Osman. This is Studio One. I'm here with the Hales. Before we get started, guys, if you can introduce yourselves, and then we can just get started.
Hey, I'm Robbie.
Hey, I'm Zach.
Hey, this is Dylan.
Hey, it's Andre.
Okay, guys, so I know you guys were at university, and the story goes, that's where the name originates from. But what I really want to know is, when it comes to the education part and going there for school, how important was that prior to the music really getting started? And as the music progressed and it started going well, were there conversations with your parents where you guys were like, okay, music is kind of going in a good direction? I want to hear from each of you guys on that front.
I think what's funny is that school taught me what I didn't want to do, which was pretty much anything related to education and anything but music. Yeah. So, and it's funny too, because I wasn't even in a band. I had never been in a band. I was never really serious about music going into college. But meeting Zach was big, just because he had been in bands in high school, and I kind of wanted a taste of that. So we quickly like formed a friendship and had a lot of different bands that failed. And I guess the best thing I learned in college was time management, because I was like always trying to figure out time to make for the band. So once we had like the right group of five, like it was very easy to carve out time. And I stayed in Gainesville, you know, past my graduation, just because the band was doing so well. And yeah, my parents were always very supportive, which was nice. And they're big music heads too, so it worked out. They saw the path.
to kind of piggyback off that, actually, when we graduated, like, Younger hadn't even been out yet. So what's crazy is like I convinced Robbie to stay in Gainesville.
That's right.
Because like
we had recorded
it, but like you were contemplating going home after you graduated. I don't know if you remember.
Probably.
Yeah, and so I that was kind of like, oh shit, like what are we doing? But then we stayed in Gainesville, and I was like Uber driving, and Robbie got a job at Miami Grill, and we were just plugging away and just trying to make things happen.
Just to add to that, because like usually even artists that I've interviewed, there's kind of like a moment where they kind of realize this is kind of working. But also, as creatives and me being a journalist, we know how hard this industry is. And how kind of like going to school and getting a job, there's a safety net towards that. I know I'll kind of touch upon it like further on in the interview, but yeah, you can jump in as well. Just touch on how much of that moment kind of was in all of your lives in terms of, you know, music is, you can kind of see it more clearly a bit more.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, going into college, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I had no idea what to major. At our college, they kind of make you pick a major before you even start, which to me is insane, because how are you supposed to know what the hell you want to do at 18? I always had a feeling in the back of my head, and I think my parents did too, that I was going to do music. So, you know, I picked like a marketing major because I figured like, oh, I could use that to market my music. But can't say I learned a whole lot, except for time management, like Robbie said. Yeah, I guess with the Hales in particular, I mean, I discovered, like, personally an affinity for music very, like, early on when I was 11 or 12 years old, and I never thought about it as, like, a career that I had to, like, actually monetize, you know, like, when I was 12 years old. I was just kind of like, yeah, I'll do music. I'm good at music, so therefore I'll do music. It was never, like, a self-doubt or question when I was a kid. And then in college, things got a little bit more real. Yeah, it started, you know, we started off in a pretty casual sort of way, I guess, playing, like, you know, doing the typical college band thing of playing shows and, like, playing cover shows and playing frat shows, which was just a lot of fun in the beginning. And I never, I wouldn't say, like, in the beginning I thought, like, the Hales was going to be my career. Like, I didn't get the immediate feeling that, like, this was going to be my ticket into music. I guess, like, if there was, like, one moment, it would have been the release of, like, that, like Zach said, the release of our single Younger. That was the first song that sort of went viral for us. And it gave us a little bit of a taste of like what we could accomplish on our own, really, because we recorded that ourselves. We were not a label. We didn't even have any management.
Were there other songs that you guys were making at the time, but you chose Younger? Or of course, right? So how did? Yeah.
Well, yeah. Yeah. We had an EP before, which you can't find on the major streaming platforms, but it's on SoundCloud. We put out an EP. It was our first attempt at writing music together. I think at the time when Younger was released, there wasn't, like, we were pretty confident about that song. And there was never a question, like, that. There was never any other contender for a single release at the time. It was never, like, Younger versus anyone. We knew that Younger was going to be our main single that we were gonna sort of push for as long as we could, and we were able to, like, sustain the success of that song for, like, almost a year, 9 months, and then we put out Stay, which is now even bigger than Younger is.
I'd love to add to that too about Younger, and especially seeing it live, is as you guys grow as a band and you release more music, I know I've read interviews where you guys like the idea of your lyrics being interpreted by fans in other ways, and emotion such an important part of the music. But listening to the song live and then kind of thinking about the questions I would ask, it's kind of cool how that song is your first song. And I don't know if you guys have looked at it this way, but the older you get as a band and the more songs you listen to, you guys can kind of listen to that song, and, you know, the older you get, how were you when you were younger? Yeah. It's kind of a really special first song when you kind of think of it that way. Yeah. And
absolutely.
You can add to that too.
Am I answering that first question? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm about, like,
education,
school, parents.
And of course the first song.
So my education was a little different because I didn't go to the same school as these guys. I went to FIU. These guys were at UF. However, me and Zach had a previous band in high school, which is, like, was one of the previous bands that Zach was in. My parents always supported me in my creativity and, like, music since I was, like, a kid. They never really saw it as, like, the main path for me. They always wanted me to do something a little bit more sustainable. So when I went to college, that's kind of what I studied. I studied construction management, so, like, or the School of Engineering. And it was something I was, like, okay at. I was pretty good at. But I was like, this isn't my passion. This is, like, not exactly what I want to do. I can do it, but it's not it. And my parents would be happy of me doing it. And, me, you know, like, you know, being coming from a Hispanic family, like, you know, first generation. It was, like, almost like it was, like, a bit of a pressure to do it. But given that, you know, I graduated, I did everything I was supposed to do in life, I was like, all right, screw it, it's my time to pursue music. So after college is kind of where I was like, okay, I've got my job, I've got my degree, I'm able to, you know, do music a little bit, take music on a little bit more seriously. Now in college with these guys, the moment for me that I saw that it was like, all right, this is, like, it could be sustainable, was when Younger then Stay came out. But also it was just our turnout at our shows. It would just get, like, more and more and more people. It was like we used to play it in front of how many people, like 50 people in the beginning.
Less.
Like, I saw videos, like, just, like, a couple of people in the crowd. But by the end of, like, everybody's graduation and then afterwards, it was just, like packed, sold out shows that we had to do our own promotion, like really put, we pushed. Like, we kind of, like, learned how to be a band in college, you know? That was our school. So, like, it was funny when you asked that question, like, oh, what did you guys, like, actually, like, you know, take out of college? Yeah, we kind of all had the similar experience for that.
I just wanted to talk about how you said, like, the Younger being our first song. I think, you know, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Like, that's something I probably think about often, just because it was special, and it was,
it was a song that I never really knew what it was going to do. I just kind of, you know, I put everything I had into that, like, performance on record and the words, and, like, I liked it a lot, but I was just, like, it was just a song I sang. But, like, now it's, like, looking back at it, it's very special because it makes me think of that time in college where I put all my eggs into one basket and said, you know, this is what I can do with my life. And yeah, like, we hit the promotion trail hard. Like, there was a lot of online promotion. We put flyers in classrooms. I guess my degree helped out for that, because I was advertising, so I used a little of Adobe InDesign in my classes, and that's how I designed the flyers. So, yeah, and then we just printed out a bunch, and yeah, like, it's funny because that song will always take me back to the High Dive, which is where we basically grew up at. Like, it's our hometown venue in Gainesville. And we've played 30, 40 plus shows there. Like, I can't even count it at this point. And that song, like, I can just picture all my friends just screaming the words back in my face. And it's wild going back there, because now the faces are completely different, but they still scream the words, like, with the same intensity that our friends did, you know. And that's what's really cool about that song, because college is such a great time capsule for me, and I have a really good friend group, I have a really good band, I have all these cool memories and people that I met in college. And yeah, like, younger ages so well with me, because I was kind of indifferent at first, and now I, you know, really love that song. So that's great.
Because even with a lot of bands that I grew up listening to, like The Killers, Panic at the Disco, eventually, as a band grows, a lot of the songs that they make, the fans kind of choose, oh, that's like their signature, or that's like their I Write Sins, Not Tragedies. Mm-hmm. So even listening to Younger live, it's just like, you guys may not have chosen that in the beginning as a song that might be the song that kind of defined the band as you grow, but I think just the lyrics perfectly encapsulate, I guess, even as a fan, just as I grow and listen to you guys as you release music. I think going back to that record will probably remind me of this exact conversation, which is what I just think is so cool. Now, Robbie, I know that I read an interview where it took you I think you were 18, 17 when you found your voice.
Yeah.
On that note, I would love to hear about that. And also, as a band, when did you guys feel like the chemistry came together as a band? Because I know when you're in a group, sometimes you'll have a few members that have different influences and different ways they kind of saw a band growing.
Yeah.
How did you guys see your chemistry growing, and when did you feel like you found your voice again?
Yeah, when I was 18, I was about to go into college. I was still in high school, and I was in my school orchestra, and I just kind of sang for fun with all the other bass players, and they sort of were the ones that convinced me, like, hey, you know, you have a decent voice. And I ended up singing at this, like, school talent showcase, and we did Stand By Me, and it got a really good reception. All the moms went crazy, you know.
Great song.
And so that was my first performance, technically. And then, after that, you know, I knew kids that were in bands, but I never, you know, like, really talked to them. All my friends were into sports and all that. But so once I met Zach, that was turning point, because then I was all about the band life. But yeah, I think our chemistry, I guess it really hit a stride. I don't know. I mean, I always feel like we've had, like, that juice, like, in. We've always had that juice, like. Parking Lot was cool. I mean, so Dylan and I wrote this song Parking Lot, that was on our first EP. That was sort of more of a demo, in a way. And even that recording process, I feel like, was a great learning experience.
Yeah.
And that showed me what a true, like, recording session and like what being in a band was all about, making a record was all about. And so going through that whole process of writing Parking Lot, recording it, that was what really solidified this five as a band. Because also the funny part is that Andre was not actually a member yet when we wrote Parking Lot, and we were trying to get Zach's cousin to record bass because he was in town, but he didn't want to drive to South Florida to record it. So we hit up Andre, and he was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to record this damn song. He recorded the whole EP and learned the whole thing, played all these shows with us. Like, Weekend Warrior came up and played all the shows with us. And that was really what helped us, like, grow, because we started, once that demo tape was out, we started playing to, like, way bigger crowds.
And how do you think, the shows that you guys were doing and seeing, like, people that are in the crowd, how do you think that influenced the music that you're eventually making?
Well, I think it's cool getting to see new cities, because now I have more things to write about, you know, more experiences that I've lived and more people that I've encountered. So that should be fun. We're about to be in this new phase of writing since we've just released a record. So I'm really excited for our next couple months, you know, because I haven't really put pen to paper in the last year, pretty much, just because we've been so focused on touring and promotion. I'm really excited after all these shows to see what I, you know, see what's crawling around in my brain.
Yeah, I think our writing, at least over the course of the last couple of years, has come from a place of solitude, and it's been a lot more independent oriented. Not that it's like one person writing all the music, but it's just like somebody starts an idea, and then the rest of us will chime in and what have you. But a lot of these more recent ideas have like sort of been born out of like periods of long periods of solitude and of not being together, and of not clicking into that chemistry that we know we have and that we discovered early on. So I think I think your question just points to maybe like a new chapter, or just a new phase going forward, where we now have all these experiences to look back on. And we can, I can't answer your question in a definitive sense, but I think it'll definitely inform the writing going forward. Now that we've had these experiences together and we've spent more time together in the last year than we did the 2 years prior, much more. So I'm excited to see how that informs the new music, but yeah, can't really speak to, I know we have chemistry and we always have, but I'm excited to see how like that has developed.
I think one thing that's interesting to me is that I'll find myself in different phases of synergy with different members.
Yeah.
So like I can really think of me and Dylan going to this studio that we built, waking up early mornings, like going before our stupid jobs, you know, that we had in South Florida, and really hammering out a lot of the details on What's Your Motive.
Yeah.
And just, you know, working on Fiona or Breathless or In Moments, like all those songs were just hammered away at random sessions. And then there's other times where we'll literally delay a rehearsal because Andre has a sick bass line that we just kind of go off of for 30 minutes. And I've got loads of voice memos in my phone of us just playing something and me trying to put down as many melodies as I can. And then other times it'll be, you know, just working with Franco and Zach at the computer, just, you know, hashing away at like a drum machine.
Yeah.
And so these like moments of synergy, you know, they kind of come in cycles and waves, and it's nice that we have so many heads that we can put together. And you know, you never know where the next thing's gonna come from, because every single song had a completely different birth and different recording process. And that's, you know, that's very positive, I think, for our future.
And going to the debut album, of course, when you think of really big debut albums, whether it's Killers Hot Fuss or Lord Pure Heroines, or anything like that. Did you guys look at your debut album as like, this is our introduction to the fans and this is our first album? Or did you look at it as, this is our first record, we're going to build on this and release another record?
Yeah, it was definitely way more of like, this is a building block for the future. Because we did previously have an idea of doing a bunch of different separate EPs to sort of combine into one record, but that never really came to fruition. And so a lot of people think He Seems Upset, understandably so, they think He Seems Upset is our first full-length record, which in a way it is, but it has all those like one-minute interludes, so we really feel like it's an EP. And you know, the runtime's only 20 something minutes, so it's not truly our first debut record. And then Alive in Strange Ways was sort of a continuation of that mindset, and that was a very experimental, trying to see what we can do more in the computer type of record. But then the debut record was something we always kind of avoided out of just, I don't know, so, like, we were being very protected with our work for a while, and obviously the pandemic didn't really help that. So I was a big proponent of trying to figure out what our narrative could be, and we had all these songs that were kind of sitting around in like various stages. Like Breathless had been around for a long time, Fiona had been around for a long time, and I knew all these songs had really good potential, and it took a lot of convincing. Even myself, it took a lot of convincing myself, like, hey, we have a record on our hands, we just actually have to finish it. You know, it's carving that marble stone, you know, there's something inside of it, you just gotta chip away at it.
As a band,
No, I was just gonna say, like, to your point, I think there was a period where we viewed that debut album as more of like, you know, a statement you're only going to make once in your life, and it has to be big, and it has to be incredibly thought out, and you know, you're never going to get that chance back. And I think that for a while was kind of crippling us and stifling us in a way. And we got to a point where we realized, you know, while we want the album to be cohesive, and we want there to be thought behind the album, but it's just one album out of hopefully many.
Yeah,
and to be fair, like, a ton of publications or writers or like, they kind of built that kind of like, this is your first album,
yeah,
your baby kind of
right
thing.
Like, you're never gonna be able to release your first album again.
Kind of like, when a movie comes out and they make a sequel, so it's kind of compared to first and all that kind of stuff. But I always find it fascinating because I get a lot of different answers from different artists when I kind of ask that question. There's so much more time to grow as a band, and there should never be that sort of pressure to live up to this when you guys should just be making music.
It got to a point where we realized we were, I think, you know, silently realized that we were overthinking it, and that we had good songs, and that, you know, all a good album needs is a collection of good songs, and we had a collection of good songs. So it was like just I guess we sort of got real with ourselves at a certain point and realized, like, oh, we've put out all these singles, we put out these two EPs. It's about time to make a statement and give people a larger sample size of what we're about as a band, because we had the material and it'd be silly to like let this kind of perfectionist, you know, mind frame dictate like when that statement would be made.
I would love to hear from each and every one of you. So at what point when the album was finally released, which it was last fall, how did it feel when it was finally out? And I want to hear from each and every one of you how you felt when the clock struck midnight and it was out.
We were all in different places. We all FaceTimed in. And I played Caligula right at 12:00. I put Caligula on, and that was a nice, somewhat cathartic moment, you know. It's out, it's, you know, celebratory, but I also knew at the same time, you know, the album doesn't die at that point. That's its birth. So, you know, all these songs that I've been hearing countlessly through mix revisions, you know, now I gotta perform it and give it to the people in a different way. And so I knew, you know,
I was ready for that next chapter of, all right, now we get to actually show people, you know, how cool these songs are by spreading them online, playing them live, all that. So
yeah, it came out right before tour,
yeah,
right?
September 8th.
Yeah, so I knew we had our work cut out for us to like really promote the album at that point. And that's always I feel like the hardest part. It's like you're happy that it's out, and then you're like, oh, well, now we gotta like promote this so that people will actually listen to it. So at the same time, it's kind of like you're almost nervous because, like, you know, you gotta work to promote these songs, or else.
Also, it's with the fans now.
Yeah, like, yeah.
It's been going on for so long, it's no longer yours now, and now it's with fans.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that's how I felt.
With a lot of those songs, you know, a lot of those songs existed as demos for so long, like Robbie and other people have touched on. We knew a lot of those songs for a very long time, and they just kind of sat there collecting dust in hard drives and computers for a very long time. So it was like, I think it was like, for me personally, it was like the most vulnerable I've ever felt, like artistically, when that came out, because like I just had gotten so used to, I knew the songs were good, but I just gotten so used to them existing as like songs that only we knew. And it was like, you know, when Time Never Sat So Still eventually comes out, or when Caligula eventually comes out, it was always like, when this eventually happens, that was always the language around it. And then when it finally did happen, it was like, oh shit, people can now hear this. And people are now, it felt like people were like cluing themselves into like an inside joke, or like an inside dialogue between the band, and we were just letting them in. So yeah, I think like it's just like the amount of time that we sat on some of those songs really made it like a vulnerable experience for me. Yeah,
I was really excited when the album dropped. I was like, it's go time. Like, we literally, how long did we have that we released the album before we went on tour? It was like 2 weeks, right? So I was just like excited to show everybody, like, here it is, we're touring it, hope you like it. Because we haven't really like given them a chance to like listen to it and get used to it, like they got used to Younger and all our EPs, you know. So it's really cool to kind of like perform it for them, and then they go back and listen to us again and listen to the new stuff, and then they're like, dang. Like, well, at least I think that's their reactions. Yeah, a lot of people like close friends have like came up to me and be like, hey, yeah, this song, I definitely see why, like, you know, like Caligula, like I have a lot of friends that like Caligula, a lot of friends that like Time, they like the deeper cuts that we don't play, but we play Caligula. So it's cool just hearing their feedback. But I was really excited to finally get it out and play it.
I know I can't keep you guys here forever, so I'm just gonna wrap it up by just one more question. Now, I know you guys got way more shows ahead of you guys and all these cool things, and this album, you're playing it. Going back to the Younger idea, one thing I like to do with Studio One is when I interview artists, is I'll just kind of throw out just one question. And the one question I'm going to pick for you guys is, as you guys continue to grow as a band, what are some things that you guys grew up wanting to do as a musician that you hope in the future you'll be able to check off your list? And Robbie, I'll start with you.
The one thing I've always wanted to do since I was 16 years old is I want to play at the Ritz in Ybor City in Tampa, because it's where I saw Arctic Monkeys when I was 16 years old. And that would just kind of be a big full circle special moment for me. Obviously, I want it to be a big sold-out show, but yeah. If it's our own show at the Ritz in Ybor City, which shouldn't be too hard to get going, that will be my, you know, that will be my I've made it sort of moment.
I think for me, to piggyback off that, it's probably the Metallica show that we went to.
I was thinking about that. I thought about that.
We saw them at the Florida BB&T Panthers arena, BB&T. I remember seeing that show and I was like, I want to play a show like this one day. This is what I want to do. And this is like when we kind of both started playing our instruments. So It was definitely like the big eyes, like, you know.
Yeah, that was the venue. We saw like Red Hot Chili Peppers there. You saw the Black Keys there. You saw a bunch of like old school bands there. All the bands, yeah. Mine would probably be like Madison Square Garden. That would be like the peak moment for me. I'm like, ah, yes. Like the song remains the same. Like I used to watch that, like, what is it? I guess it's like Rock Doc or not. Led Zeppelin. Yeah.
It's a concert movie.
Yeah. I watched that movie growing up like so many freaking times. And I'm like, I want to be like that. I just want people like to get just lost. Like you see like their reactions and they're just getting lost in it. I'm just like, I want to do that. That's what I want to do. That's my moment.
Here. I don't know. I guess I don't know if there's like one moment I can reflect on, but like, I'm really excited about the idea of like playing at festivals with other bands that I really like, and being able to like get a backstage pass to like a sick band that I follow for a very long time, and like, I think that would be like a life affirming moment to be. I don't know, to kind of feel that like I'm almost equals with like a band that I've looked up to for X amount of years. Getting to meet them, but just being able to like play the same festival, be in the circle of artists at any of those festivals, and like just like I guess be able to like look at these other bands as like your peers, you know, as your colleagues, like these artists that you've looked up to for so long, like that, just being getting to that point would be really cool for me.
I mean, I can definitely see all of those things happening for you guys. So let me just put that out in the air. Again, my name is Drill Osmond. This is Studio One. Thank you guys so much for taking the time out to have this conversation with me. It's been an absolute pleasure. I can't wait till you guys come back to Toronto. You know, I'll hear younger again, and then
and hopefully Franco will be here with us.
Yeah, Franco will be here. We'll be all five of us.
Yeah.
There's a missing number.
He'll talk your ear off about the World Cup. Yeah. Yeah, that would have made him super happy.
That would be my one question, like, outside of
the World Cup.
Outside of what you guys want to like eventually do as your careers grow, I was gonna ask him the World Cup question just to hear his response.
Before we leave, though, I do want to shout out some Toronto bands, Cleopatric and The Beaches. Some of our very good friends that we've played with in the past couple of years. So, dope bands. Yeah.
All right, guys. Again, thank you so much. This has been Studio One. Take care for now. Studio One.